Romans chapter 13. Okay, let's start reading.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Now see, this is very important. People go to church, or people listening to the minister. Some people come to church and try to tell pastor how to run the church. The word of God says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. All the powers is given by God, and all the ministers are ordained by God. If the person is not ordained by God, then you don't have to listen to him. But he is ordained by God, means God has put that person in authority. And you have to listen to him. And if somebody says, I go to church and that pastor is this and that pastor is that, I would say, leave the church. Go somewhere and find the pastor who you can respect. And that pastor who you love and you want to go under his authority. You don't sit in that church and criticize pastor and make more people in your side to criticize pastor. He says, what will happen to those people? He says, verse 2, please read one more time.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Damnation. And who resisted the pastor? They resisted the God's anointed one. That's why the word of God says the man of God is anointed by God, and he says, do not touch my anointed one. Now just think that David was anointed by God. Saul also was anointed by God. But the Saul got jealous about David and he wanted to kill the David. Did God allow Saul to kill David?
Yep.
No. Now the Saul came when he was in the cave,
yes,
or he was lying on there at midnight, nighttime, and all his soldiers are watching him. David came close, cut his garment, and went on the mountaintop and said, hey, who is your soldier who supposed to take care of you? I would have killed you. Look at this garment. And then when he says, Saul, oh, that is my piece of my cloth. Why David didn't kill? Even the one man was with David. He said, now God has given you Saul in your hand. Kill it. Otherwise, I'm going to kill it. What did he say? I cannot lay my hand on anointed man of God. So that man, I'm talking about David, stayed under Saul, even though God anointed him as a king. But God did not tell David, kill Saul and be a king.
Believers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
So what he's trying to say, the rulers, God kept the rulers, they are not terrorists. When the pastor says something that correcting somebody, that person should be thinking, this is anointing to me. This is a blessing that he's correcting me and telling me I should not be doing this. But if they think, oh, this pastor always hates me and always he talks bad about me, and that's the kind of mentality they're thinking, the word of God says, the rulers are not terrorists. If you're doing something good, why you worry about bad things happening? Don't worry. Keep on doing good things and God's name will be glorified. But if you start fighting and war and jealousy and power hungry and things like that, hear the word of God saying, if you're doing something good, you don't have to worry. Keep on doing good and then God's name will be glorified and praised. You do not have to worry about rulers. I was never be afraid of my pastor when I was a believer. I always had great respect for the man of God, and they had the respect for me. Somebody is your pastor, you should be listening to him and saying good about him. A few minutes ago, I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, people always say bad about president. People choose him as a president, and after 4 or 6 months, they say, we don't like this president. God has appointed the man, and you should be praying for him. That's what the Bible says. Pray for your kings, pray for your priests, and pray for the pastors, and pray for your leaders. That is our duty, not to criticize them, but to pray for them. Okay, verse 4.
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
The ministers or pastor or government or anybody, government officer or president, their duty is find out my citizen live in peace. You cannot get everything and all the time, and not a single president or anybody can supply every need of us. So we look into God. The same with the pastors. Each and every pastor and every minister, they have their own weaknesses. Nobody is perfect. What the word of God is saying, if that pastor looking after your soul, is he worried about you that you should not go astray? Is he taking care of you spiritually? That's what important. Is he giving the right word of God to you? He says, if he does, then the God's wrath will come upon you. And the God will judge you if you're judging the man of God or somebody else. So you should not be going under the judgment of God. And so he's saying what? Read that seventh verse.
Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
So that means you have to adjust according to the situation. Now if I go to another country and they start saying, we don't want suit. If you want to preach, wear our kind of clothes. What should I do? Wear a suit and not to preach, or wear their costume and preach? I will say, give me your costume. As long as you are not telling me to bow down to your God, I'll take your costume and I preach. I don't care. I want to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you went to any country or any place, you cannot try to change that country according to you. You get adjusted to that country. That's why we say, you come to America, learn American language. You to come to America, learn our customs. But the people come from Muslim country and try to change America. You say, you want to do what we want to do. And when you go to their country, then they have the same rule, you do what we do. The word of God says, custom to custom, honor to honor, you have to learn to adjust yourself if you really want to preach the gospel. So God will take care of it. Okay, verse 8.
Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Okay, owe no man anything. What does it mean? That means we should not be borrowing money from somebody. And if you borrow money, you better give it back. You bought something, you better pay it. What I'm doing, I'm not telling about others. What I'm doing, if I'm buying anything on MasterCard, when the bill comes, I pay in full. I do not want money to one penny to be interest to pay. And sometimes they put an interest. One time I paid my money, the MasterCard put $9 or $7 something interest. I called them. Why did you charge me? I paid in full amount. Why did you charge? Oh, your money came 2 days late. So that is a penalty. So I learned the lesson. I should sit there and write right away. I do not want penalty. If I do like that, then I will not owe any money to anybody. God is there to supply your needs. You go to God. One man wrote to me and he said, I'm dying. I'm 55. I'm going to go to nursing home, but I don't have money to go to nursing home. I don't have anything. How can I live? I wrote to him a letter. I said, God is going to supply your needs and he's going to heal you. God healed the man. Now he's serving the Lord. and we were sending $100 to you. And one person came and said, you sending the $100 to that person, I will take care. We will send $100 to that man. You don't have to. So you see, God took care of it.
Yeah.
People are telling me, you can go and tell the government you have this project, that project. Government give you $5 million. I do not want to take money from government and run by government rules. I wanted to be a food bank member. And now they're telling me, you cannot tell them about Jesus or anything. Just give food and don't talk about religion. Why should I do that kind of business? Let somebody do it. My job is to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God is good. He says, if you love one another, that's what God wants. Not cheating one another, not fighting with one another, but love one another. And then he says, if you do that, you are fulfilling the law. God said the same thing, love one another. Jesus Christ said same thing, love one another. Paul saying the same thing, love one another. And that will be fulfilling the law or the commandments. Verse 9.
For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Right. This is the way Jesus said it. And so, Jesus said it, in the Old Testament said it, and now the Paul is saying the same thing. How can somebody love his neighbor like himself? Is it possible or impossible?
Possible.
It's possible. Sure. Once you have Jesus Christ in you, Jesus Christ is called the love of God. God is love and Jesus Christ is the model of love. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are full of love. And then you are going to love any person in from any country. If that person is born again child of God, that is your blood brother in the Lord. Once you know, this is my brother in the Lord. Now sometimes your neighbor might be not a Christian, but how can I win that neighbor if I'm nasty with the neighbor? I told you one time when my neighbor came, next door neighbor, and started banging at door, and I was praying. I said, ma'am, what can I do for you? You praying all the time. Why don't you get up and clean your leaves sometime? And I said, ma'am, this morning I cleaned the leaves. But she said this all over again. I said, I cannot control the wind. So I will clean it again if you want. So I just went back to prayer because I just cleaned the leaves. She comes back and banging door again. I said, what is this time? She said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You know why I'm banging your door? Because I fought with my mother-in-law. And I don't know where I put my frustration. So I thought, I'll just bang on your door. I said, thank God you did it on my door. If you did it on somebody's door, they might do something. So I said, I'm going to pray for you. So I prayed for that lady, and that lady never again in her life, as long as she lived in that neighborhood, say any bad word to me. I was just taking the address of the real estate man on the in the board. This man comes, takes the sign in front of me and throws on the yard. And I looked at him. He said, don't look house in this neighborhood. Look somewhere else. But I already got the number. I called the real estate. That real estate was far away. I went in person and I got that building. Whatever the price they were selling, at least 50% or less, that building I bought. And when this man who threw the sign got a cancer and dying, was in the hospital, I went and said, sister, I will take you to your husband's place. And I took her back and forth. You want to go for shopping? I'll take you for shopping. And my wife led that man to Jesus Christ. And that man says, what we people will do without you. And his wife starts saying, you are so good neighbor. I said, you are the one didn't want me to be in this neighborhood. Now we are in new neighborhood, and there we're trying to win the people. And thank God, those people found out as soon as I went there. 40 years in that neighborhood, they did not have any traffic light sign. 40 years, and they called the city hall, the mayor, and the governor, and everybody. Nobody's putting sign. We went there and first week, and I prayed. 2 weeks later, they put the traffic light. And the neighbor came to me, "Do you know anybody in the city?" I said, "For what? We were fighting for 40 years to put a sign, and you got it when you came. Within 2 weeks, the sign came." I said, "I know somebody. And up there, Jesus Christ, who heard my prayer." And another thing, I'm living on off street. I'm not in the main street. Off street, no snow plow comes. I didn't have the machine at that time. I said, "Lord, how am I going to do all of these things? Send somebody today." The truck comes, first time, did my this side and this side and everything clean. They said, "Did you talk to somebody?" "No." I said, "Before, I talked to God, and God did it." From that day until today, every time they come and clean the both street. Now, only cleaning is my footpath. Mm-hmm. My neighbor comes, one neighbor comes and do this part, another neighbor comes this, and I go out, all done. I said, "Why you people are doing it?" "Oh, you are a good neighbor, so we want to help you." Other day, snow came so high, other neighbor came and he got a machine and he cleaned it. And I said, "I want to give you something for your children." "Not, no, please don't do it. I'm doing it by love." One man came and tilled my ground, and I didn't know. And I said to my wife, "You know, somebody came and tilled our ground, you know, for the vegetable. And we found out who did it." They said, man says, "I'm not going to cast this check." And his wife came, "Why did you do like this? We are doing with love." I said, "Well," my wife said, "this was not my idea. This is my husband's idea, because he doesn't want anybody's labor free. So we did it by love." Say, we are winning our neighbors by love. That's what the word of God is saying you do. Okay, verse 10.
"Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe."
Somebody says, "What is the knowing the time? And what is this high time? And where our salvation came nearer than before, and I got saved almost 10 years ago." You know what he's trying to say? A salvation, once you got saved, your soul is saved. But your body is still in a bondage. Book of Romans chapter 8 we read, whole creation is groaning and waiting for the redemption. And the believers also waiting for the redemption of what? Of their body. This body we are living in, this body, sometimes we get pain, we cry, we have all kinds of problems. But once Jesus Christ comes, he redeems us from this body. We get the new body like Christ. 1 John chapter 3, first three verses. Please read.
"Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure."
So this is the hope we have. Jesus Christ will come, and he will transform our body, and we will be just like him. So now he says, now this is the high time, the time to awake. And another place he says, "Awake, you sleeping with the people who are spiritually dead." So we have to wake up where we are, what we're doing. Are we sleeping with the people who are dead? If you naturally sleep with a dead person, you're going to catch disease. The same way, if you living among the unsaved people, there is a saying in our language. If you tie a donkey near the cow, cow is not going to be donkey and donkey is not going to be cow. But the cow is going to learn how to kick. The same way when you are having a fellowship with the unsaved people, you are going to learn unsaved people's behavior. So that's what he's trying to say. We have to purify ourselves because we want to be with the Lord. We cannot mix with unsaved people. And he says that's why you wake up from sleep. Don't think we have enough time. Time is almost past. He can come anytime. There's nothing to be remaining to fulfill the sign. Everything is done. Now somebody says, but the gospel is not preached over the world. Yes. Yes, sir. It's preached over the television, where the satellite, where the printed pages, where the radio and television and people going door to door. If that is not gospel is preached, then I don't know what is preached. So in short, what I'm trying to say, there is not a single prophecy is not fulfilled. Oh, but that the temple in Jerusalem is not even built. That has nothing to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come any day, any time, because the time has fulfilled. The word of God says, this is not time to sleep, but awake. What does it mean? Go and tell somebody. Just think that your neighbor's house is burning. Will you sleep? Doesn't matter, it's his house. My house is not burning. So somebody's neighbor's house is burning, you cannot sleep. You're supposed to go and try to help the neighbor to get them out of the house. So this is what we have to think. This whole world is burning. We cannot sleep. We have to rescue those people. So sometimes people do not know that when we're telling them about gospel, they're thinking we are against their God, we are against their religion, we are against them. They say, no, we are not. We're trying to save you from hellfire. We are trying to save you from the eternal punishment. And if they don't listen, you come home and pray to God and say, Lord, I talked to this person and he's so stubborn and I want to pray for that person to get saved. I guarantee you, one of these days, that person will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because you are concerned about that soul. It's not a salvation came near, that means you never got saved and now you're going to get saved. You, once you got saved, you saved, but you keep your salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, let's read.
For my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Paul is saying to the Philippians, you people acting when I come, very religious and very holy. Yeah. But now I'm not there. But what he's saying, now you are already saved, work out your salvation with what?
Fear and trembling.
And somebody says, once you saved, saved forever. Why have to watch out for my salvation? Here he's saying, if you are saved, keep your life pure and holy all the time. So he said, watch out or work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. You got saved, so say, oh, I'm saved. I'm not afraid to go into bar. I'm saved. I'm not afraid to go to gambling places. I'm saved. Work out your salvation with the fear and trembling. The same way he said, now your salvation came nearer than you believed. Because you should be looking up. He said, what do? Look up. That means Jesus Christ is coming. Looking down means what? Looking at the world. Looking up is looking at Jesus Christ. He says in Colossians chapter 3, first three verses if you read. He says, now if you are born again, you saved, your eyes will be up. Because we do not have our own life. We are living the life of Christ. Go ahead.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Now, where are you looking? Look above, where Jesus Christ is. Okay, go ahead.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Always thinking about God and godly things.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
We have to think we are living in this world, but we are dead to this world and we are alive for Jesus Christ because our life is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, read the verse 4.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
What he's saying, when Christ, who is our life. What does that mean? We don't have our life. Christ is our life. And he is going to appear, and then we will appear with him in a glory. So our life is not ours. Our life is Christ. And somebody said, this is my life. I can do anything. You don't have to tell me what to do. Okay. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We are almost finished now.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
I purchase you with my own blood. You belong to me. So glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. They are all belong to God. Okay, let's go back to the Romans with verse 12.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
So the darkness represents the devil and his kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14, if you read, 12 to 14, if you read, it says, he has redeemed us from the darkness and brought us in the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. So we are not under darkness, we are under the light of Jesus Christ. So we have to give up these works of the darkness and we have to put on the armor of light, means armor of God. Let's read verse 13 and 14 and finish it.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in cambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Now he says, do not walk like ungodly people. He has given so many words there. So in short, do not act like a worldly person. So what do you do? He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean? The Lord Jesus Christ is called the righteousness of God. When you put the righteousness garment, then the people are going to see Jesus in you. So when you're putting on Jesus Christ, that means you covered with Jesus. And everybody sees you, they don't see your body. What they see? Jesus. So when you're putting on Christ means everybody should see Jesus. Let the whole world know we have belonged to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. We are not ordinary people. We are chosen from darkness unto light. And now what we're supposed to do? Go ahead.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
He has called us where? From out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are not people of darkness. We are people of light. Okay. We are bought with a price. We are belong to Jesus Christ. We were in the darkness. Now we are in the light. Let the whole world know who we are. And let our light shine. You know what Jesus Christ says in the book of Matthew? He says, you are the light of the world. And you are the salt of the world. So we have to let the world test and see us. We are real. Shall we rise?